Well, I've got a giant game of Jenga, as you might have noticed, at the front of church this morning. So I need two volunteers to help me finish off this game. Okay, well, I can't really choose only two. Anyone who wants to have a game of Jenga, why don't you come to the front and we'll go one at a time. Just for the illustration to work, you need to make sure you don't lose this game, okay? So as you go first, you want to try, you might want to move that, Steve. So Ezra's going to go first. Try and find a loose one. Okay, take a seat, Ezra. Thank you. Who's going to go next? Some confident jengering going on, if that's the right word to use. Try and find a loose one. There we go. Well done, Matisse. Teo. Don't go for that one. So try and find one for you. Oh, there's one. Well done. Emily, do you want me to try and find one for you? It's a bit looser. Oh, there's one here, I think. There we go. This one's loose. One each for that one. Emily. This illustration is going to fail miserably if I can't get to the end of this. Yeah, it's definitely going to fall. There we go. Should we do a joint one? Gethin, Oshan, Amelie, do you want to pull this one out together? Don't go on the table. Well done, Rosie.
Okay. I'll just hit one. Oh,
boys, do you want to take a step back? Go back to me, please. Don't want any injuries here.
Eight.
Oh, this one, well done. Boys, do you want to go back? Right, Lily.
Amy, do you mind going back?
The game ends with...
Stop.
That's a dangerous game to play.
Do it.
I'm blaming you if this doesn't work. Okay, well done. Take a seat. And I'm going to have a go. And do this. Thank you for volunteering. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a little bit like this Jenga piece. You take it away and the whole of Christianity falls. If the resurrection didn't happen, there is no point to Christianity. If Jesus did not really rise from the dead, then the whole thing falls down. I suspect there's probably a mixture of people here this morning. I should have thought about this, shouldn't I? Otherwise I'm going to be stepping on those all morning. I suspect there's a mixture of people. Some of you are Christians. And some of you wholeheartedly believe that Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. And that you know that it is the fundamental truth about your faith. Some of you are Christians, but you're yet to see how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. Some of you are not yet Christians, and I am thrilled that you are here this morning. And some of you who are not yet Christians might not think much about the resurrection at all. It might not matter to you. You might not think that it makes a difference to your life in any way. And some of you are not yet Christians, and the thought of Jesus really, truly, bodily, physically, rising from the dead is something that you're set against. Something you truly believe didn't happen, cannot happen. And you may think that we're a bit nuts in believing that it did. Well, as we all look at Luke chapter 24 this morning, I'm hoping that whichever one of those four categories that you fall in, there'll be something for you to take away and to chew on over these coming days. Because what we're going to do this morning is look at just some of the evidence, of the proof that we are given that Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. I say some of the proof because there's lots more proof than what we're going to have time to look at in this short passage of Luke's Gospel this morning. But I'm hoping that as we look at these things, that it would both encourage us and challenge us as we look at these this true story of Jesus rising from the dead. I've got 3 points this morning. They all begin with an R. Hopefully that'll make it easier to remember. And the first is this: we can rest assured. That is, that we can have confidence, we can believe that Jesus is alive. We can rest assured that Jesus is alive. If you've got your Bible with you, either a physical copy or a device, please get it out, because I'm going to be reading several verses, or the whole passage, during this sermon. We're going to start at verse 1 of Luke chapter 24. And it says this: on the first day of the week, that is that first Sunday, that first Easter Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The women mentioned here are the ones who are named down later in the passage in verse 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them. They're the same women mentioned in chapter 23. First in verse 55, they're the same women who saw Jesus buried. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. It's the same women who saw Jesus die. If you go a few verses earlier, verse 49 of chapter 23. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. The same women who saw Jesus die, the same women who saw Jesus buried, and now these very same women seeing that empty tomb for the first time. They were credible witnesses. Except in that society at that time, they weren't credible witnesses. Women in that time, in that place, were not allowed to give testimony, eyewitness testimony, or any sort of testimony in a court of law. They simply wouldn't have been believed. And you might think at first glance, why has Luke chosen to record here some people that no one would have believed to show that Jesus has risen from the dead? Why has he relied on so-called unreliable witnesses in that culture? But on second glance, you can think, well, if this story was made up, if someone was trying to write a story to persuade people falsely that Jesus was risen from the dead, why? Why would you choose these people who people would have seen as unreliable? Instead, you would have chosen someone who in society would have been seen as believable. But no, Luke chooses to record these women's testimony. Now, when it comes to criminal cases in the UK, there are lots of different factors that that a court will weigh up to whether to rely on someone's eyewitness testimony or not. Things like how long someone saw a suspect for, how far away they were when they saw them, how light it was, and how long has passed since they saw the suspect and the time they're giving their testimony. And choosing women to be your witnesses in this context, it would be like choosing someone in a criminal court in England and Wales now that saw someone just for a brief moment, 500 metres down the road at dusk, 80 years ago. If it wasn't true, if these women didn't really see these things, you simply wouldn't choose them as your witnesses. But they are reliable witnesses. They are the ones who saw these things, and we can rest assured in their evidence. You see, they weren't exactly expecting to find Jesus alive either. Verse 1, the woman took the spices they had prepared. They were going to the tomb. They were going to Jesus' body, so they thought. And yet they did not find it. Let's look very briefly at their witness, their evidence. What is it that these women are saying? Well, there's something that they've seen, and there's something that they have heard. They have seen an empty tomb. Verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. An empty tomb, no body inside of it. I just want to consider for a moment what different options we've got available to us to explain away why there is no body in that empty tomb. Maybe the Romans would have taken it, those who were occupying the country at that time. The ones who had signed Jesus' death penalty, as it were. Well, if the Romans had taken Jesus' body, the easiest thing for them to do when people started saying Jesus is alive would have been to show them the body that they had taken from the tomb. But they didn't. They couldn't, because they hadn't taken it. Maybe the Jewish leaders would have taken it. They hated Jesus. They wanted him dead. They didn't want this movement that started to follow him to take off. Well, the easiest thing that they could have done was to produce the body if they had taken it. Maybe it was grave robbers. But why would grave robbers leave the only valuable thing in the tomb, the linen cloth that Jesus' body was wrapped in? We read in verse 12 that they're still there lying by themselves. No, the grave robbers couldn't have taken it. Well, perhaps the disciples stole the body away and then made up the story that Jesus was alive. Well, if that was the case, you'd probably expect them to paint themselves in a bit of a better picture in the Gospels. The disciples are portrayed really badly in the Gospels. They're people who don't believe. They're people who fight among themselves. They're not exactly their loyal followers of Jesus. But most of all, these disciples, almost all of them, went to their deaths for this message. They were willing to die for the message that Jesus is alive. Now, if Jesus wasn't alive, if this was a message that they had made up for whatever reason, you would have thought at some point before they were killed for this faith that they would have said, you know what, I made it up. It was all a lie for whatever reason, but no. They were willing to go to their deaths for this message that Jesus is alive. The women saw an empty tomb, and the only realistic explanation for that is that the tomb is empty because Jesus is alive. They saw an empty tomb, but they heard something as well. They heard an unimaginable message. Verse 4 and 5. While they were wondering about this, the empty tomb, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Now, these two men are angels. We know that from what they're wearing and from the other accounts of the resurrection that we have that show that tell us that these men were angels. Angels are messengers from God. So what is it? What's the message that God is bringing to these women and to us today? Well, it's their question first. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Implication being, of course, that Jesus is living. They're looking for a body among the dead in the tomb. And Jesus is not there because he is living. And then comes the big news. The unimaginable message. He is not here. He has risen. He has been risen. Someone else has done the rising. God, the Father, has raised Jesus, his Son, from the dead. Yes. This is an unimaginable message. Dead people don't rise any more then than they did than they do today. Which is why running through the whole of this passage, the whole of this story, is a reluctance to believe this unimaginable message. We have the women first who are wondering about this. They're confused about it. They're puzzled. They're perplexed. We'll come on in a few moments to read of the disciples in verse 11 who don't believe this unimaginable message. Then Peter in verse 12, he wonders to himself as he goes away what has happened. Yes, this is an unimaginable story. Portia and I, a few days ago, were talking about when we were growing up and each of our families had their first computer. It was a desktop computer which literally filled the desktop. It was huge. We were then talking about how we used to have those CD players. I used to go running with a CD player, and I had to make sure you kept it level so they didn't skip as you ran along. And then we were talking about those cameras. We had a camera. Well, I had a camera that had a film in it that you had to wind up. Now, if you told someone in the 90s, if they grew up in the 90s or earlier, if you grew up earlier than that, that one day you would have a computer and a music player and a camera on a smartphone, you would say that is an unimaginable message. But unimaginable does not mean impossible. We are given proof. We are given evidence to believe that Jesus is alive. We are given these things so that we can rest assured, that we can have confidence in the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Rest assured that Jesus is alive. Secondly, remember. Remember his words. Remember his words. The message from the angels goes on in verse 6. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. You see, on one level, this unimaginable message shouldn't have been all that unimaginable. Because Jesus had already told them this was going to happen. Jesus uses the term Son of Man. Perhaps we'll unpack that at a future date, what that's all about. But it's his favourite way of referring to himself. And he says the Son of Man must. It's a strong word, isn't it? Must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. These things had to happen. Must. Why? Because God had said they were going to happen. That promises were made about this Son of Man, this King, this Messiah figure, that yes, these things would happen to him. And what's more, Jesus had said to his disciples, at least three times we have, we're told in the Gospels, that these things must happen to him. It seems to me, as I've prepared quite a few talks on the Easter these last few weeks for various things, that this is a key theme in the Gospels. That we are to have confidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead, because he said these things were going to happen to him, and then they happened just as he said they would. We are to remember these words. Remember that Jesus said they would happen, and indeed they have happened. Like these women in verse 8, then they remembered his words. This passage invites us to rest assured, to have confidence and to believe that Jesus is alive. It invites us to remember the words that he's given us beforehand. But thirdly, it invites us to report this news to others. Verse 9, when they came, that's the women, came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, that's the disciples that were left, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. That word told can be translated report. They told them these things. That is what they'd seen and what they'd heard. This empty tomb, this unimaginable message. There's a hint in the word that's used that doesn't really come across in our translation, that these women had to tell these disciples over and over and over again. Tell them what they have seen. Tell them what they have heard. I wonder, do you feel like you're banging the same drum when it comes to telling people that Jesus is alive? I wonder whether you think that I and the other people who preach from this pulpit bang the same drum every week that Jesus is alive. Well, yes. That's kind of the point. That he is alive, and that is the message that we are to keep on reporting to others. That Jesus is alive. There's something here also about the kind of response that can be expected to this unimaginable message. Verse 11. But they, that is these disciples or apostles, those who became the early church leaders, did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It's actually quite a bit stronger than that. They refused to believe what the women were telling them. Don't be surprised. If you get the same response to the times that you are telling people the same story, the same message, keep on going. Keep on reporting it. Keep on telling people that, yes, Jesus is alive. You see, there's hope. Look at verse 12. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. He's wondering. He's marveling. He's still a little bit confused. I don't think that he's quite there yet. I think the penny has begun to drop, but not quite. And maybe he's thinking, I need to see more. I need to see Jesus himself. Well, why don't you come back next week and read a little bit more of the story, how Peter did see the risen Christ. But for this passage, we are encouraged to rest assured, to have confidence, to believe that Jesus is alive. Will you believe that Jesus is alive? You see, if he did rise from the dead, we need to pay very, very careful attention to what he says about himself, about us, about our need for him, about the fact that our sins can be forgiven. We need to listen to him. Maybe you're seeing for the first time that, yes, Jesus is risen, or Jesus might be risen. Well, why not find out more about Christianity? There are a couple of ways you could do that. We've got some books that we're giving away for free this Easter called Is Easter Unbelievable? Why not take a copy? They're free for you. Read it and see for yourself that Jesus really is alive. Or if you want to find out more, you could do what my friend Alice once did. She heard of the news of Jesus. She heard that Jesus is alive, but she had a ton of questions. She wasn't sure about things. So she came along to a course that I was running. She had the opportunity to ask those questions, and I could answer them, or at least most of them. Over time, Alice became a Christian as she saw for herself, much like Peter does, going to this tomb, that Jesus really is alive. Will you believe this news? Will you find out more about this news? Well, we run a couple of courses here at the church that helps people to investigate Christianity further. Come and chat to me after. I'd be more than happy to set something up where you can find out more. Will you believe? Will you rest assured that Jesus is alive? Will you remember his words? Remember the fact that he said in advance that all these things are going to happen. For instance, you could dig into the Old Testament a little bit more. Trace those promises that God has given about Jesus, about his son, about this Messiah who would one day come. Then see how they all come true in the pages of the New Testament. It will feed your faith as you do that. It will do you good. It will increase your confidence in the truth of these things. And will you report this unimaginable message to others? for instance, at lunch at church in an hour's time for those from this community who may well come in? Will you talk to them? Will you get to know them? Will you ask for those who are here from the community, what do you think of the message? What do you think about Easter? What do you think about the claim that Jesus is alive? And then you have the opportunity to report to them that indeed he is. Or perhaps you could post a video on social media this afternoon that talks about the proof, the evidence that Jesus really is alive, and invite someone to come and chat to you about it, to meet for a coffee, to talk more about this unimaginable message. Will you remember his words this Easter Sunday morning, that he would rise? Will you rest assured, have confidence to believe that yes, he did rise, and will you report this unimaginable news and to all that will listen, that we can be saved from our sins because Jesus died, and yes, because Jesus rose from the dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that Jesus is alive. Thank you for the difference that makes to the here and now and to our future. Thank you that we can have great confidence in the truth of these things, that he really did live, he really did die, and he really rose from the dead. Lord, thank you for the hope for now. Thank you for the hope for the future. We pray that you would warm our hearts, that you'd build our confidence in these things, and you'd give us the courage to tell of this great news to all that would listen. In your name, amen. Well, we are going to sing In Christ Alone, and then into our final song, which is Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death. Thanks, musicians.